Good morning.
I'd
like to welcome you all to Baptist Christian Church this morning. If you'd turn with me in your bulletins, we'll go through this week's announcements. This morning, directly after the worship service, we're going to have Sunday school for all ages. One announcement to that, we're going to combine the pastor's class and Bob's class, and we're going to meet in the sanctuary. Wednesday night, 6:30, is the midweek prayer and Bible study discussing the book, If You Want to Walk on Water, You've Got to Get Out of the Boat, by John Ortberg. And Thursday night, from 3:15 to 5:30, is the Crusaders Club, kindergarten through 6th grade, and then 6 to 8 is the teens. And they need volunteers to work in our church nursery during the worship service. A new schedule is posted on the bulletin board. There are only 14 weeks until our spring community event. Please pray, asking God how you can minister to our community during this event. Then mark your calendars for VBS will be June 16th through the 20th. And as a reminder, we still need small items for bingo for our spring community event. This could include travel size lotions, nail polish, pocket flashlights, keychain screwdrivers, packs of gum, a cozy drink holder, or any little item that could be used as a small prize for bingo. If you see something on a clearance rack or a good deal, consider getting it to donate for the event. A container is in the kitchen for your donated items. And this week's memory verse comes from Romans 15:1. We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not please ourselves. Thank you. Have somebody who'd like to say something.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It is really good to see you this morning. Although you are a little blurry, I cannot express our gratitude. I just can't tell you. This is a miracle. I didn't want to do this. This is answered prayer. I have no scars, and all the doctors are amazed. They couldn't believe it. I apologize for the glasses. The stuff that they used to... I discovered they dilate the pupil and it paralyzes your iris. And that the iris is prone to spasms and that's very painful. And so they paralyze the iris. And it'll take about 3 weeks for my eyes to return. That's why I can't see well or read. So the Lord will continue to do that. Thank you for your prayers. It means more to us than you can know. And thank you for all your support, for the unbelievable number of cards, well wishes. We've gotten cards from people we don't know, from places we didn't know existed. I got one card from a church in Washington Courthouse, Ohio, and all the people that were there signed the card. It was amazing. Maybe there'll come a time when I can talk about this a little more. It's still pretty overwhelming. Thank you. If you want to see where this started, Linda can show you. But thank you. It's good to be here. Let's
We love you, Pastor.
We love you. To God be the glory. God. Not one doctor, not one nurse believes what happened. Sometime I'll tell you. They don't believe it. Let's bow in prayer and ask God to minister to us.
Everyone, please bow. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for letting us gather in your name this morning to worship you, Lord. And just we ask your blessing on these tithes and offerings, Lord, and just pray that you'll use them to further your kingdom here on earth, Lord. In Jesus' name pray. Amen. At this time, I'd like to welcome Herb Russ to deliver this morning's message.
Let me turn this on. Am I live? All right. I look alive up here. You look alive down there. Well, thank you for having Marge and me coming here to the sunny belt of Indiana. There is a sun up there. I know it. And there's a lot of snow down here as well. And the Lord safely brought us down here. I know a lot of you were praying for us to get here safely, and I appreciate it very much. Let's go to the Lord in prayer right now. Father in heaven, we thank you. We thank you so much that you are here with us. Your word says that where two or three are gathered in your name, that you are in our midst. So we welcome you. We pray that your abiding presence would be sensed, that we would know that you're here. That, Father, through your Holy Spirit, you would bring comfort and peace, as we sang in the last song. That you would open our hearts to the gospel of Jesus Christ, to his word. That the message that will be proclaimed today will honor you, will glorify the great name of Christ. We know that it's only by the blood of Jesus Christ that we are cleansed. And we look around us, we look on the outside, and we see all that snow, and we think of the promise that though your sins be as scarlet, that you will make it as white as snow. So you have purified us. You have made us holy so that we could enjoy your presence right now. And I would ask for these dear folks, Lord, as many have gone through many trials, that have suffered much, that, Father, that you would let them know that you love them, that you're going to bring them through these difficulties, and that, Lord, that sometimes it feels like they themselves are in the furnace, that you will bring them forth like gold. So I would pray that you would purify our hearts, our minds, our souls, that we would love you with all of it. And Father, that you would just allow us to keep focused on your word, on what message you have for these dear folks. Again, we thank you, Lord, that we are here in your midst. And may we worship you throughout this day and honor you as you deserve it. For I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Some of the folks here were wondering what I was going to be preaching on. I know when we came in last night, I was going to give it away to Pastor Rich and Linda, but I didn't share what Bible verse that I was going to take them to. But it should be pretty obvious when they go to Daniel chapter 3. So go ahead to Daniel 3. I'm here because there was a slight accident that occurred in this place. And we know that accidents happen. Some companies thrive on accidents. I just had to fill out the paperwork for my homeowner's insurance so that I can pick up the car. And so we need insurance. Obamacare and all the new rules that are coming about are telling you you must have health care insurance. Why? Well, in our sin nature, we are accident prone. Or another way of saying it theologically is that people are depraved. In other words, we are bent on doing that which is wrong, or it just doesn't happen. It's part of our nature. And so you think, well, God, why does this happen? Why does that happen? And we, all of a sudden, we sort of kind of put the onus on God, like it's his fault, right? But it's because of the environment we live in. We live in this sin-depraved world or culture. But it is no accident. God knows the beginning from the end. He sees the big picture. And even in the difficult times, like accidents, God can be glorified. So, when the next accident or tragedy comes in your life, how will you bring glory to God? How will you respond when God turns up the heat? Now, I know some of you would say, God, I wouldn't mind you turning up the heat like maybe 40 or 50 or 60 degrees, but maybe that's not a good idea because we might have a flood. So we have to be careful what we ask for. So when God turns up the heat or when you're put through God's furnace, how are you going to deal with that time? So we're going to prepare you all for that. And some of you will say, well, I'm a pro at this. I've been going through quite a few of my own issues. But I'd like to give you a biblical perspective. And we'd like to learn from three men, their names, even the kids know, Shadrach and Abednego. That's right. So let me give you a little background before I read Daniel chapter 3. We know that Israel, God's blessed people, they came to the promised land, and thanks to Moses and Joshua, they got them set up and they were thriving in that country. And unfortunately, the sins of the leaders, later David with Bathsheba and Solomon, turning away from God and the rest of the kings, the people followed suit, and literally they were going down the tube. Jerusalem was destroyed. Many people suffered, families, and the whole nation was torn apart. The Jews were taken prisoners, and some of those prisoners survived, and they came to Babylon. They were taken captive or prisoners. And we have three of them, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And this is the account of these three men, chapter 3, verse 1. King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold, 90 feet high and 9 feet wide, and set it up in the plains of Dura in the province of Babylon. He then summoned the satraps, prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all other provincial officials to come to the dedication of the image he had set up. So the satraps, prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all other provincial officials assembled to the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up, and they stood before it. Then the herald loudly proclaimed, "This is what you are commanded to do, O peoples, nations, and men of every language. As soon as you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipes, and all kinds of music, you must fall down and worship the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. Whoever does not fall down and worship will immediately be thrown into the blazing furnace." Therefore, as they heard the sounds, and I won't repeat all of them, every person, language, men in every language, fell down and worshipped the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. At this time, some snitches, or it says here, I think, astrologers, came forward and denounced the Jews. They said to King Nebuchadnezzar, "O king, live forever. You have issued a decree, O king, that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipes, and all kinds of music must fall down and worship the image of gold. And whoever does not fall down and worship will be thrown into a blazing furnace. But there are some Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who pay no attention to you, O king. They neither serve your gods nor worship the image of gold you have set up." Verse 13, "Oh, that's okay. Well, let them go." No. Verse 13, "Furious with rage, Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these men were brought before the king, and Nebuchadnezzar said to them, 'Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold I have set up? Now, when you hear the sounds of all the musical instruments And if you're ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hand, O king. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and his attitude toward them changed. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times hotter than usual and commanded some of the strongest soldiers in the armies to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. So these men, wearing the robes, trousers, turbans, and other clothes, were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. The king's command was so urgent and the furnace so hot that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and these 3 men, firmly tied, fell into the blazing furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, Weren't there 3 men that we tied up and threw into the fire? They replied, Certainly, O king. He said, Look, I see 4 men walking around in fire, unbound and unharmed, and the 4th looks like a son of the gods. Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire, and the satraps, prefects, governors, and royal advisors crowded around them. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair of their heads singed. Their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, and think of this, he's worshiping God. Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own God. Therefore, here comes a new law. I decree that the people of any nation or language who say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be cut into pieces and their houses be turned into piles of rubble, for no other God can save in this way. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. The story speaks for itself. Miraculous. But who does it point to? It points to God. There's something greater going on here, and it is God who is getting the glory. The Lord acted on behalf of these men because they could count on God. If you want a definition for faith, let that be your definition. Faith is, I can count on you, God. You said it, I believe it, that settles it. I think that was an old Billy Graham saying back in the 60s. It was true then, back Daniel's time, back at the beginning of time into the end. God is good to his word, and you can count on him, and they did. They can count on God, and what's amazing is that they responded, Oh, our God will be able to save us and to deliver us from this fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. Pretty defiant, isn't it? But it was because their faith was rooted in God, in Yahweh, the deliverer. And they said, let it be known, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. They wouldn't compromise their faith. Even though everybody else was bowing down to this false god, they wouldn't. They could count on God because they had a special relationship. And when you go through a trial, remember this, that you have someone who loves you so much. He sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for you. And as a heavenly father, he cares for you. In fact, in Deuteronomy 4:20, these three men probably knew this verse very well. Deuteronomy 4:20 says that the Lord has taken you and brought you out of the iron furnace, out of Egypt, to be his people, an inheritance, as you are this day. You who name the name of Jesus Christ today are his child. He has given you an inheritance. And he will bring you out of any trial that you go through. And I want you to remember a really important thing. Some of you may think, well, you know, there's a real close similarity to the word trial, because trial and temptation could be taken one way or the other. It's the words are very close in the Greek. But God will put you in a test to bring you forth like gold, whereas Satan will tempt you not to bring you like gold, but to literally to trash you, to make you not what you ought to be, reflecting the image of God, the glory of God. He wants to stomp all over that name, and he'll use temptation to do that. But when you go through a temptation, think of it as God is not tempting you, because James says that doesn't happen. God is putting you through a trial to bring you forth like gold. And these children of God, you that know Jesus Christ, I want you to be encouraged to do like these men, to commit your ways to the Lord. Psalm 75 says, commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. And I can tell you that these men waited before the Lord. They would not compromise. They committed their ways to the Lord, and God brought them through. Again, let me emphasize Daniel 3:23 to 26. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they felt bound in the burning fiery furnace. And the king was astonished, and he declared to his counselors, did we not cast three men bound into the fire? They answered and said to the king, true, O king. He answered, but I see four men unbound walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. And the appearance of the fourth is like the son of the gods. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the door of the burning furnace. He declared, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out and come here. And they came forth out of the fire. They came out of the fire. But is that a 100% sure thing that God is going to deliver us completely out of the trial? Well, yes, it is. But it may not be the way we think it. We have to temper this particular verse in the Old Testament with the truth that is found in Hebrews chapter 11. Where there were some of these victorious men. And what more shall I say? Hebrews 11:32. For time would fail to tell me about these victorious people. Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, and Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire,
A little reference here to these three guys. They escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. This is what happened to Isaiah the prophet. He was sawn in two. They were killed with a sword. They were about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. Wow. Some people really, really suffered for the Lord. And all these, the ones who were delivered through fire, and those who had to go through the fire, and all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, for here at Baptist Christian, better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. Praise God that during this incident, that God was merciful to Pastor Rich and to Linda and to this congregation. And we can give testimony of, and I'm sure Rich will share that as the days unfold, of the healing that has occurred so quickly. And during this whole time, think about it. God was there. He was not absent. He was like that fourth person that was with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He was there. And he promises that I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I am there. And when you go through a trial, remember that the Lord is there with you. And even though we have to go through this life that deals us a curve in this world that you know, I was in an incident where in my life I went through a trial and I was being singled out to, in essence, they were writing me totally out of my job description. I was going to lose my job at the beginning of February. But I realized the whole time when I was going through this whole incident that God was with me and that many people were praying for me. And even though I could not see what was going on at the present time, I knew on the back end that God was going to take care of me. And he did. And I thank you for those who prayed for us, because God was in it and he used the body of Christ, this body of Christ. You were there praying for Rich and Linda, and God brought about this miracle. Our Heavenly Father cares for us in the good, the bad, or even the ugly times. And sometimes you may think, wow, I'm going through one of those ugly times right now. Please, please know this. God is with you. Even Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were willing to die for their faith. And they told the king so. Even though we know the Lord can do this, we will not obey you. And they were willing to suffer the consequences. So when the consequences come, what are we going to do? So the next time, let me ask this question again, next time you have an incident, an accident, some difficulty, how are you going to respond when God puts you into the furnace? Well, let me give you this first promise. Isaiah 48, verse 9 and 10. According to that verse, the Lord assures us, "For my name's sake, I will defer my anger, and for my praise, I will restrain it from you so that I do not cut you off. Behold, I have refined you, but not as silver. I have tested you in the furnace of affliction. So when you go through that furnace, what are you going to do? Well, first, I've got three real simple points. This was just the introduction, so I'm just getting started. No, don't worry. Don't worry. The first point is don't be anxious. Don't worry. Guess what? God has got your back. Better yet, he's got your front, he's got your side, he's got the whole nine yards. And you know what? One of the verses that I'm going to quote here in a minute, well, let me quote it right now, has meant a lot to me in the last several weeks during this transition when I didn't know if I was going to get this job. And the Lord gave me two job possibilities. I didn't get one job offer. I got two job offers. The Lord lavished it on me. But I was sort of anxious, a little bit, Lord, all right, I know your timing's the best timing, but could you sort of speed it up a little? I'm losing my job next month. Well, this verse that the Lord gave to his disciples means a whole lot more to me than it did before. I mean, it meant a lot when I've read it, and I've memorized this verse, but even more so, when you go through a trial, you really start looking at this in a different light. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough of its own trouble. So I'm looking in the future. Okay, February 1. And I got really anxious about that date. And the Lord gave me a peace and said, just live each day for me, one step at a time. And it's amazing the peace of God that comes over you when you just deal with what you have in front of you. In fact, Paul told the church in Philippi, don't be anxious for anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You get the through part? Guess who's leading the way? Christ Jesus. Think about that person at that parade. Who's that? Pardon? Yes, that's the person. He's leading the way. He's leading you through your trial. It's that picture of Moses leading the people. And this is what Christ is. He's leading his children through the difficult times. And he will give you that peace. Did worry ever help you? Oh, yeah. I think it helped the doctors and the pharmacy, my blood pressure pills and all that stuff. Well, Mark Twain said that I'm an old man and have known a great many troubles, but most of them never happened. So when you go through a trial, follow my son's advice. He was only 7 years old, and Margie was going through a real stressful time, and he takes her chin and says, Mom, don't let stress make you a mess. That's our Matthew. Second, look to God in his word so you know what to do during the difficulties. A lot of times we say, all right, I think I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this. Or I'll get counsel from my buddies. They may not know Christ or they may not know God's word. And it's important to get counsel, godly counsel. Let me not diminish that, but the important thing is, get it from God's word. There are a lot of commands with lots of blessings because in the commands are a lot of promises. In fact, if you have not done this exercise, I encourage you, if you're reading through a particular book of the Bible, like the Psalms or something like that, I would take a yellow highlighter. Take a Bible you don't care marking up. Take a yellow highlighter and mark the commands in yellow. And then within that same section, take a green highlight and mark that the promises with a green highlight, and you'll see a very green and yellow Bible. Commands that tell us what we should do, and promises that support the fact that if you do this, this will be the result. So I believe that when you go through trial, you need to search the scriptures. Again, the one who knows the end from the beginning knows exactly what you need. And Jesus said in Luke 11:28, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it." So what happens to those who obey God's word? Guess what you get to be called? Blessed. Happy. Jesus said in John 14:21, "Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him." Obedience. Just simple obedience shows us that we love the Lord and that he will love us back and he will manifest. He will show himself. He will show his will to us. So when you go through a trial, you know, some of these trials may be a little gray. And you say, well, it's not in God's word. Well, the general principles are still there. And I would also encourage you to get godly counsel. See your pastor. See your elder. See those people who are a man or woman of God who can direct you in God's path or at least give you a different perspective. So don't be anxious when you go through a trial. Read his word, obey his word, and my simple last point is, would you just do it? You know, we read it, it's here in God's word, and then it's sort of like analysis paralysis. You don't move forward. Just do it. What is that? That Nike swoosh. Just do it. Ephesians 5. "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity." There are opportunities galore that the Lord is setting before you. What will you do with it? "Make the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit." Being filled with the Spirit literally means to be controlled by the Spirit. When you hear of somebody filled with rage and anger, all you see is anger and rage. Filled with the Holy Spirit, what do you see? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control. If you're filled or controlled by the Spirit, you will demonstrate that fruit. And that fruit is plentiful. And there are a lot of people looking for all those in your life. You've got to be filled with the Spirit. You've got to be controlled. You literally have to yield to Him. Don't give in to your own way. Sometimes it means to just stop and be still and know that I am God. But then once you know what God's will is, just simply do it. We had a rule in our house. We told our boys, we didn't say four or five times, "Matt, Matt, Matt," and repeat our four or five commands. We said it just once. We call that instant obedience. And if they didn't get the instant obedience, then we had a big paddle about that big on the wall with the Ten Commandments on it. And when there was not instant obedience, Dad would get up and go for the paddle. And you would be amazed at the instant repentance. There was the instant obedience and the instant repentance. But you know, we need to not only have it up here, it's got to get down here, and it's got to hit the feet, it's got to hit the hands, it's we've got to do something. I remember one time I felt so guilty how I had said so many words to a particular technologist over the weekend that I found her phone number, I called her up, and I was smitten with guilt because I had said something that was inappropriate. It wasn't bad as far as any curse word or anything like that. It was just my attitude. And I was convicted to the core. And I could have just done nothing. But I was sweating. The Holy Spirit was just working in my life. Got my hands out of my pocket. Went for the phone. Dialed the number. See, look at it. I'm doing the rotary now. Showing my age here. Didn't get on the cell phone. Called her and I asked for her forgiveness. She was shocked. She didn't realize. It's okay, Herb. Don't worry. We're good. Was that more for her or was that more for me? Probably for me. The point is, God is going to bless you when you obey Him immediately. Very simply, when you go through a trial, don't sweat it. Don't be anxious. Pick up God's word. Pray, seek godly counsel, and through that counsel, or through the Holy Spirit speaking to you through His word, act upon God's word. You'll be surprised how God will bring you through this trial. It may not be quick. Some trials we'd like to have done and over by the end of the day, but it just doesn't happen. God is putting you under a trial for a reason. He may be putting this church under a trial for this season. He may have been putting this, I know He's been putting this all in action so that all of you can grow closer to the Lord. And I would pray, since you have been praying so fervently for your pastor, and that you have been praying for your church, I pray that you will not slow down, that you will just move forward and take whatever God gives you today. Take those trials, take the good, take the things that you think that are not so good, and turn it around for an opportunity to glorify the Lord. I think one of the things that besets the church so often is that we get the momentum to move forward and then we just stop. We need to just keep on keeping on with the Lord. And we need to pray until something happens. I'm telling you people that you need to be pushy. P-U-S-H. Pray until something happens. And when the trials come, they're going to get blown away. These trials that come will be a whole lot easier because you're sticking together, you're praying together, you're acting as the body of Christ, and you're going to mend one another. And that's what you've done for your pastor. You prayed for him. And as the body came and ministered to them, God did great things. And He's going to continue to do great things, but we can't sit back. You've got to push and pray until something happens. And I believe this church is on the verge of that. It's probably been moving. I know it's been moving in that direction. Keep pushing, because I believe God is going to do great things in this church, all for the glory of God. I end with this particular verse here that was read this morning. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. The salvation of your souls literally means the deliverance, that God has delivered you and he has shown the world through your actions because of your belief in Jesus Christ that you are saved. Now, there may be a person here in this church that has not counted on Christ, has not put their faith in Jesus Christ. They have not been delivered from the penalty of sin. And the Bible clearly tells us, for those people who said, oh, I can do fine without Jesus, I don't have to count on him, it says that the wages of sin is death. The end result of not taking Jesus as your Savior will result in death. But he wants to give you life. Though the wages of sin is death, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. And we can have that gift now if you don't know Jesus Christ. So if you don't know him, come to him, because he will save you and he will get you through the trials that you may be going through today. You can know the God of the universe, and all comes by believing in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we come in the name of Jesus Christ. And we come now, and as a church, we are asking, Father, that you would just please, in the name of Christ, show more of yourself to us. Now I'm asking on behalf of the one who does not know Christ. If they sense in their heart, if he or she senses in their heart that God is drawing them to you, Lord, I pray that they would come. We have witnessed to the fact that he is the God who is worthy to be served. That these men mentioned in the Old Testament, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, said they would serve no other God but him. And I pray, Lord, that today, if a man or woman does not know Jesus Christ, that they would say, this is the one I will trust. This is the one I will believe. He's the God of miracles, and I trust him today. I pray, Lord, if that is true, that you would draw that person, and they would come to you. Now, Father, as we close the service, deal with each of us in our own specific way. Make this church prosper and to bring you glory and honor and praise. For I pray this in the name of Christ. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.